What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Hey there, listeners. Welcome back to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. We hope you had some great gaming since the last time you listened. And if you're new, welcome to the table. We are not an actual play podcast, but we hope our podcast can help you actually play. Allow us to introduce ourselves. I'm your intro host for this episode, Malcolm.
And I'm your theme host, DM Mamba or Sam, ready to rock and roll this episode.
And I'm going to be rolling on our scenarios today. I am David. Hello.
Hi, I'm Malcolm, and I didn't pick a question of the week yet. Whoopsies. Let's see. To get us started off and actually get those creative juices flowing, let's look at what something we, I'm feeling sentimental today. What is you guys' fondest D&D memory?
That's a tough one. Why don't you start us off, Malcolm?
Well, you know, that's fair. I asked it. I deserve this. It depends on the character. My proudest moment is not a D&D moment, but it is a an RPG moment. One of the characters I originally made for a session got really out of hand, and he ended up becoming the villain to the campaign that we were in. I lost control of him, of course, DM control once he was going. And so later on, I made a new character who was like super into helping them, super, super duper cool. Loved the guy. Everybody liked him, which was good because everyone did not like the first guy. My bad. There was a moment in the end where he had to fight. So it was essentially me fighting my own creation. And there was a point where He had to dodge out of the way of an attack, and because he dodged and he critted on his dodge, the DM decided to have it be that the character hits himself and takes himself out, which was very ironic because the character in every other situation was very good at eluding death, which led to the famous line that stays in my head quite often of, only Ron Grayson could have taken down Ron Grayson, which was how he died. And so I was like, oh, so it's a nice moment for me.
Very nice.
At least as a player. As a DM, I think I have a different butt.
I think mine has less to do with the game and more to do with the social aspect of D&D. Just because I met like a group of friends and joined their game and got pretty close to them. And that was just a really awesome thing to kind of get out of a game. A coworker was running a home game and I ended up joining them. And it was just a really fun time. And I got my my favorite tequila out of it, which is Sparkle Donkey.
So, you know, talk to those coworkers, I guess.
I gotta say, for me, it's more of my proudest, you know, DM moment rather than a playing moment. One time when I was DMing my one group, actually, kind of like how David, I had an old coworker who was like, hey, I'm DMing. You want to join a group? You want to join a game? I know you do theater in school. And I was like, yeah, love to. And then he went through a phase where he didn't want to DM. He was kind of getting burned out. So I said, I'll DM a second campaign. Why not? And it's during this one time when I was DMing, they were all role-playing. And I didn't have to say anything. They were just all in character. Even my rogue who doesn't say anything. Well, he's actually a barbarian rogue. He mains barbarian, but he wanted to change it up. So he plays a rogue like he plays his barbarian. It's very entertaining. But even he was, you know, the quiet, silent type that was talking in. And this went on for a good 40 minutes until I had someone come and attack them. But before that, it was a great chance to watch them roleplay. And that's just, it sticks in my head of how immersed they were in our story.
I think that is definitely one of the most rewarding things that you can have happen as a DM, is to just, you've provided a world in which everyone can kind of get lost for a little bit and you don't really have to do anything for a while they're experiencing the world.
And tequila. I like you getting tequila.
I think that's great. Yeah.
After every single combat encounter, we would do a shot. We did what's called Rooster Tails, which is a shot of tequila followed by a shot of orange juice followed by a shot of tomato juice, which sounds really weird, but it makes the tequila go down really easy.
I like doing plot shots in my games, so I understand the alcohol part. You know what else makes a really proud moment, David?
What's that?
Dice. Shall we roll?
Let's do it.
I was like, there was no lead-in for that one. We don't know what was going to happen. Okay, so...
I couldn't think, and I was like, ah, we're going to roll.
I wasn't sure. I was like, should I do it? Is that allowed? But no. Yeah, so this is the part of the show where we have David and Sam roll dice for themes and scenarios, and we're going to get one of each and mash them together to make an awesome session, campaign, or something you can use. So stay tuned.
I'm rolling on the lovely themes table. I rolled my lovely purple dice that I got, I think, from Barnes & Noble. And I rolled a lovely nat 1. So we have school.
Bum, bum, bum.
For our theme today.
School?
I think. Nope, we used that one. Sorry. We have Actual Belly of the Beast by Alvin. Is this that?
Yeah, that's not it. Actually,
we have Vulnerability of the Strong by David. Oops.
Hello.
Third time's the charm right there. Thanks, David, for this lovely one.
And I rolled a 12 for the scenario.
Which is a village that is way too peaceful to not be suspicious. This is abstract. I, like, normally with these, we have kind of an idea of where to go. Maybe you guys do. David, you had one of the themes. What you got for that?
Vulnerability of the Strong is the theme in a village that is way too peaceful to not be suspicious. Okay, so I'm picturing immediately, this is a town that is oddly full of, like, I picture, like, a Nordic town that your party walks into, and everyone is just ripped. Oddly ripped. Every single person, the men, the women, children, all rocking, like, 8-pack abs. Their biceps are bigger than your thighs. And they're just acting like this is a totally normal thing.
They all got to be gym bros. That's one of the rules.
And your party walks in, and is just there's definitely going to be a strength-based character in your party who, like, really loves this town. But it's this strange occurrence that everyone is getting too muscular. And so you have to figure out why that is.
It's G-Fuel Fuel. No. I don't know any of the actual protein powders.
I kind of had a similar image. I imagine walking into this town, you know, right, clearing the forest. You have this beautiful, tucked away little town. Everything is going well. Everything is going just great. And it's because of this pillar folklore hero. I'm kind of thinking of a good side or a good version of Gaston mixed with Paul Bunyan type of character. Super friendly. Everyone in the town is friendly. You know, adventurers come in all the time. They're always treated well. Everything's going great. Problem is the strong man is dying and has, out of the good nature of their heart, instead of retiring, kind of like Boxer in Animal Farm, has been overworked, working with a broken leg or a broken arm, but continues to go on these massive hunts. I'm kind of thinking Null Hunts, possibly, or some sort of mass invasion type of creature. And he does this every day. He gets up at 6 a.m. He watches the town's perimeter. He makes sure all the fences, there's no tracks, all the fences are secure, pastures are clean. He goes through and makes sure there's no one coming. His vulnerability comes from the fact that he is now debating if he should either train someone else to take over for him, but can anyone do it as well as he can? And there might be on the table of a warlock patron, you know, promising to give him immortal strength to keep this job forever as long as he stays tied down to the town. And you could have him fall in love with, like, a player character where he maybe wants to leave and then his bond is broken or something like that. But that's just my first instinct of there's a pillar character, a pillar strong man, strong woman guarding the town who's been doing it for years and years. And everyone is safe because they know this one person is going to do it until they can't anymore. Then what happens?
I got a concept here too. I liked what you said earlier, Sam, about, like, having, like, a Paul Bunyan, and that reminded me of John Henry, actually. And his big thing is that, you know, goes against the machine, which made me think of Warforged. So we could have, like, a Warforged invasion, and he's always the one who, like, fights them back, And so he can have a moment where he's like getting too weak for it or getting too old. Like maybe last time it's just it's very clear to everyone. So everyone's trying to get buff. So we can even have David's idea there of like the town is ridiculously strong looking or like trying to get in shape. And everyone's like, gotta get those gains, bro. Cause they're like, why? And they're like, cause John Henry's dying. Like we gotta get ready to like be able to hold off the Warforged that always come through here that like, I don't know, you could do like Lost Soul Warforged or something where they're all confused or like wild or angry. Or you could just have mechanical animals or something attack the area. And that's what John Henry normally prevents. But he's just getting too old. Like the cow in Barnyard, the movie, if you remember that. The old cow that Otis takes over from, his dad. He like fights off all the coyotes and stuff. And then at a point he gets too old while fighting the coyotes. And the coyotes just take him down one day. And they're like, oh no. We have no one to save us from the coyotes.
Or you could have the John Henry be the dying Warforged. And the spirit that's infused in the body is just at its end, even though it could be like a relic from a different time, a guardian-esque, where they're there for a super long time, thousands and thousands of years, protecting this one village in the middle of the forest. That's its job. And now, since it's dying, it doesn't know exactly what to do with power, with its knowledge. And what should it do from here? It doesn't want to die. It wants to continue on serving the town. And then you have the vulnerability side of, does the town care? You know, everything's fine until it's not.
Yeah. Or what if whatever this defender is kind of protecting the town from, these outside forces have found a weakness for it. And so while he's the Superman of this, whatever we're going to go with, these enemy hordes have found kryptonite, and that's what's kind of causing this big conflict in the town.
Okay, so they have the weakness to our defender, and now there's vulnerability of that strong. Oh, that'd be kind of cool, because then you could also make it so that like everyone's trying to step up to be the next, I'm just going to use the term you most recently used, David, Superman, and just have it be that all the characters are like, I'm going to be like the best adventurer ever. And so like all you're in basically a training ground for all these characters who are like, I'm going to defend this town. And they're not, it's very clear that they're not ready, but they're like, I'm going to do it. Like, yeah, that could work.
So what would we have our, if we go this route, what would be the goal of the session be? Or goal of this encounter be for our party?
I was gonna say, I think the eliminating the kryptonite could be one of your options. Picking a new champion could be another one of your options. So maybe helping one of the other people train a little more or get stronger to the point where they could defend. Like maybe each one of them has their fatal flaw themselves. Like one guy's just too arrogant to be a good leader, so you have to break him down with like charisma. Another guy just doesn't have the wisdom to know like what area to actually defend to prevent invasion. So you have to do things that way. Like picking and using, of course, stats like that can help it that each character who has a high stat in whatever goes, okay, this is kind of the guy I want to use because he doesn't really get this. And if we get him help, he might be able to do it. If you have really good characters, maybe they might be able to convince everybody to work together. But clearly that's not probably going to happen. That's like your 100%ing the game outcome. So What were you thinking though, David?
I was thinking there's also the option, if we want to stick with like this vulnerability of the strong theme, going out and finding what the weakness of this invading party is. In trying to like stop the damage and fighting from that side, like your party would have tons of options, like the ones that you mentioned, this one, probably like 5 to 7 others that your party's going to come up with that we can't account for.
Yeah. What about you, Sam?
I like all those. I think an idea that just kind of popped in my head, which would work well, is we talk a lot about vulnerability in this one as our theme. I think the goal for this should be having the hero already established in the town realize it can no longer do this and accept their new limitations. And that way it can either, one of the things could happen, if we go with a Warforged hero, it could be that it powers down for the last time, but then a new guardian is created to take its place, you know, a baby robot or something like that. Or, as we just talked about, there's a new hero that will step up to fill in the shoes of this town. this could be a really cute way, I think, of writing off a player. If you have a player who can't commit to a long-term campaign at the moment, and they don't want their character just to like disappear into vagueness, or that you can't think of a way of writing them off in a good way, I think this would be a nice way for that one hero. Or if you just have a player who's tired of playing this one character, you have this character fill in this role here at this town. It'd be a nice way of saying to the party, I'm going to stay here and protect this town and help where whatever we call this person hero's spot.
Yeah, I like that. It could be, if you don't want to have a like actual player character built as like a Warforged, you could just use whatever type of golem you'd like as well to be the defender of this town.
Yeah. Ooh, the last remaining remnants of this, let's say we have a wizard tower in town, and maybe it's casting a spell of happiness or, you know, something like that. And this golem is the last magical effect residing by this wizard who's died in his tower, you know. And it puts on a veil over the town of pure bliss. Nothing's wrong, nothing's great, as long as the golem's there. Everything will be fine. The power is now starting to you know, fade back to the earth or the world. That magic is dissipating. It's moving slower. It takes, you know, instead of one hit to kill a coyote, it's now two hits to kill a coyote. And you either now have to find a way to replenish this magic, or you have to find a way to bring the magic, or, you know, just replace it in general, like you said, with one of your player characters coming back and keeping that spot or something else. But that way it ties in the scenario of the peaceful village. You know, nothing goes wrong here because this golem's here.
I like that a lot. I also think that, like, having a town, because now I'm picturing kind of like a squabbling town, a wizard being like, you know what? I'm going to solve it. And he does this, and he puts the golem, and he does the magic spell to make everybody happy and at peace. And so now everybody has their problem solved. And then once that magic fades and the wizard's already dead, the golem goes like, look, we got limited time before this all falls apart. You got to find a solution.
Yes. You come into the town, you come into the town, the hero, this golem, takes you back to its lair. Or maybe they built it a house, too. It doesn't need a house, but they built it one anyway.
I was thinking the wizard tower.
Oh, yeah, the wizard tower, of course. I don't know why I didn't think of that. I think I thought of that originally. But, you know, so he takes you back to the wizard tower. He's like, let me show you this real quick. On the level here, I need to show you this. He takes you up, and the wizard's dead in his bed. And the golem's like, yeah, I got a week left. I haven't been able to tell him. I got 1 week left. I hear the drumming of gnolls coming in to attack. We got 1 week or one.
Absolute slaughter.
One, absolute slaughter. Two, all of their problems, if they survive, will come back to them. They will no longer be able to problem solve so easily. And three, I'm going to disappear because the magic's gone. So I need your help solving at least two of the first two problems, and then maybe the third one at the end.
Mm-hmm. I've accepted that I'm not going to be here anymore, but I want the town to still go on after me.
Right. Yeah. It's like, maybe the town even named after it at this point, you know, Gollumsville or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, he like, no, but every time he sees people, his whole job is to make them happy, so he can't tell them that he's about to die.
I like that a lot. I think for this peaceful, the reason this town is so peaceful, like we said, is basically it was built around this wizard's tower. And whatever's inside the wizard's tower, or the remnants of it, is what's kind of protecting the town. So maybe it's not just the golem, but it's a bunch of different things that are keeping them peaceful while they're in, like, the mountains by a kobold camp or something along those lines.
I assumed it was a spell the wizard cast, but I also kind of like the idea of there being like a specific object that maybe there was that's just powers going down. Also, a kobold camp is really good, because what do kobolds?
Dragons.
Yes.
But I like, so the reason that they keep attacking this town, maybe the tower is made of something like a precious metal or a precious gem. And so each time they come in, they're trying to take pieces of it before the defenses of the tower can push them away. And that's why the town isn't being wiped out as the power goes out.
Or what if the tower was built on top of a dragon's tomb and its magic is sealing off the dragon's magic, which kept it super peaceful, until now that it's disappearing, it leaking out to the kobolds, and the kobolds can now find it, and their job is to come and gather either buried dragon eggs, or what if they're trying to resurrect this dragon?
Elder brain. Elder brain.
Elder brain dragon?
those exist now. Oh my god.
I know. What if now an Elderbrain took over a colony of kobolds, and now its goal is to bring back and create an undead dragon brain dragon? I can't remember what they're called. Elderbrain dragon?
I don't know, but I know what you're talking about, and so does everybody else listening, hopefully. But because if you have that, it makes sense that the things too are also like, we got to get in there to like get our thing out, because that is our boss, and our boss is all peaceful now. So that could be an even greater threat too, if you want world-ending stakes, here we go. Because if you don't stop Elderbrain Dragon Boy from waking up, Elderbrain Dragon Boy has a whole hive mind across the nation ready to roll at its orders. But its orders have been, stand down. We're all good here. Peace.
In addition, I love that idea. Another reason this town is so peaceful, they're not freaking out because they may have seen some of this stuff fall apart, is as that brain is waking up, it's trying to quell the defenses by like having everybody calm down. And so there are these people who are rough and hardened and look super battle trained because they were getting ready for their guardian to fail. But now they're just super peaceful. They're chill because their minds are being kind of twisted to be less defenders so that these kobolds can sneak in and dig ever deeper under the wizard's tower so that they can let their master out.
I love that. I think that we could have it be... I know a lot of people did not like Thor in Endgame, but Thor in Endgame, the idea of like this guy who like used to be super in shape, used to be like battle ready, and then it was just like, battle was over, it was done, so I'm done, so I'm not going to do that anymore. So I just chilled out at home, ate some chips, like, you know, like have all these like super ready fighters and just be like, yeah, but man, like there's never been a problem like the last 30 years. And you're like, what are you talking about? Did you go out of your town? He's like, nah, why would I? This place is perfect.
Like, we saw dead kobolds on our way into town.
It's not a problem for them.
Ooh, and you can have like hybrid kobold mind flayers.
Oh, what was that, Sam?
I was like, I looked it up. Yeah, it's on page 194 of Fizban's new book there. The Elderbrain Dragon, I think, would be great because there's also a new Dragonbone Golem we could use as our friendly guy.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
So this could be either a sorcerer tower of, you know, of the dragon blood, or it could be a wizard who had studied dragonology and other things like that, and has just dedicated himself to preserving the rights of dragons in the world rather than being hunted, even the evil ones. So he came here, set up shop, found a dragon that was causing havoc, quelled it, and put his tower on top of it to save, you know, this town, or maybe the town came after.
Because it was safe.
I like the idea of it being that it's so, the dragon was there, and this wizard was, or this magical person, whatever class they are, decides, I'm going to cast a spell so strong it's going to quell the Elderbrain dragon and keep it, like, pacified indefinitely. And because of how strong that magic was, it's just chilled out the whole town. So you just have all these fighters who are like, we're ready to go kill. And then they go there and they're just like, oh, there's nothing. It's not worth it. Just hang out here. It's fine. And that's what happened to all the like great warriors. And or not, maybe you don't want to put all the great warriors, but a lot of them are in this town. And they just go like, yeah, we were going to kill a dragon, but I don't think that's really cool. You know, like that's not going to
happen. Oh, my gosh. Yes. I love that idea of this wizard comes into town. We'll have to think of a name for him or her. Comes in, quells the dooming threat of the Elderbrain dragon. And maybe this is just an encampment of a bunch of parties and guilds coming together to slay this dragon. He quells it, builds his tower on top of the tomb, seals it off with a charm so powerful it quells anyone's desire to, one, leave the town, or two, like, continue on questing. They're like, this is our town now. So this town now is made up of all of these different... really high, powerful level adventurers, you know, and throughout the generations, as the time passes by, the witch passes, they pass, but the town is still brought up through most of their descendants who have no desire based on this charm to be, you know, adventure and leave the town or fight. So this golem created, by this wizard, this dragonbone golem has been their protector. So they revere it as a dragon, and then maybe someone finds out that there's a dragon's tomb under the town, under the tower. And maybe that's the person who's slowly chipping away from the seal. So this way your party can either find the mole on the inside and stop it, stop them so there is no massive slaughter. Or if they fail, now you have this, and you can still have the kobolds coming in trying to figure out where their master has gone. But now you have another inside, you know, adding on to the seasoning of the stakes is they have to find the mole. Or they have to defeat all the kobolds, but then they can still, like, fail because the mole could chip away the remaining of the seal, thus having all of these descendants of powerful, like, adventurers, maybe all their potentials and unlocked. And now you have to try to still slay this dragon now, this Elder Brain dragon that's come out of the ground.
Well, I want to acknowledge the fact that we don't want to take away party, I forgot the word. Oh, well. But their free will, essentially. And I think the way to work around that, yes, thank you. I think the way to work around that is to have it be that they are not affected by the spell because the spell's losing power.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mean them.
Yeah. No. I'm just saying in general, I'm just saying for the listeners' purposes. but yeah, that they would come in and they would be like, why are they like this? We're not like this. Or maybe it takes a certain amount of time to build up that level of passivity, especially since you have double passivity because they're not raised to fight if they're the descendants. And they're also not, they're under a spell effect. So it's a double whammy on that front. I think that could be really cool.
Yeah. I really like the Thor idea too of just, and you could have maybe one elf who is around at the time left and they're just super, you know, let themselves go. Mm-hmm. You know, drank too many bottles of mead, ate too much wild boar or deer, you know, and they let themselves go. And they said, yeah, I used to look like this. And you see a painting and it looks nothing like that. They're like, yeah,
the world's buffest elf.
Yeah, the only elf barbarian you'll come across was here. And he's just, yeah, I didn't want to do this anymore after the guy showed up. And, you know, it's been pretty chill. Had some kids. They're still here. And you see the descendants still, like, you know, no one leaves the town because it's so peaceful. It has everything the adventurers need, you know. When they first come in, it has potion shops. It has rare magical weapons because all of these people decided not to quest anymore. So they've traded in their magical items. They're now for sale. Or maybe they're just selling their inventory that they had. So the players are like, oh, this is awesome. I can come in and buy a +3 axe of fire damage.
Or you can see them using these, like, weirdly overpowered magical items for everyday tasks. Like the axe of burning hatred is being used to chop down trees for fires.
And they're like, where'd you get this? Oh, well, this is my daddy's war axe. And, well, we don't have to fight monsters because we got good old dragon bones over there. And Dragon Bones comes in and beats anyone up. So we just use it to chop wood now.
I have an idea for the name of this wizard. The protector of this town. And kind of what this town has got its name from. The wizard would have to be named Gaines Maximus. And of course, this is Gainesville.
I like Gainesville. Hey, it's better than what I was thinking, which was Walt Disney. Because all I could think was like happiest place on earth.
That's really good too.
But
no, that's the artificer, yeah. Walt Disney, and he uses a cannon on his one knee to attack.
I like this.
What other kind of castmates would you have in this module that we make?
So let's flesh out a little bit more of the golem. I kind of like the idea of the golem being nervous all the time, but that kind of nervous where you don't really notice it until they're like alone with you. And they're like, please, dear God, help me. I need it.
That's really good.
Yeah, I'm going to die.
As it comes in, it's this big, powerful, welcome, travelers, to Gainesville. You know, super robust voice, powerful. And as soon as it gets you into the wizard's tower, it's like, oh, geez, guys, I really need your help here. I only got a week left, and gosh, I don't even know how to tell him that. But there's three things I need help with. You're more than welcome to say no. I understand. One, there is a slew of Elder Brain infested...
Kobolds,
just outside my reach here. I think they know I'm about to die. They're waiting. two, someone in the town is chipping away the seal that is keeping a powerful Elder Brain dragon locked down. And three, my magic's disappearing and I'm about to die. Can you help?
Perfect. Okay, so we got... I actually like the idea also, Sam, that you said too about the artificer with the cannon in his knee. I think it would be fun... The fun part of this is you could do people who use... who either used to be really, really cool, or you could just have, like, the uncool offspring of whoever is really, really cool, and, like, what that would look like. Yeah. Like, you know, how Kratos, for example, in Dad of War, is, like, super chill with his kid after a while, but, like, you're just like, man, that kid's gonna grow up to have some, like, weird stuff now that he's mellowed out. Like, because he was, like, really rough in the beginning, and then you can just have him be like, oh, yeah, well, my dad was actually, like, super chill. He was, like, this really buff dude. But he never, like, fought anybody? I don't know what's up with that.
I was just going to say, I really like the idea of having these be the descendants, but I don't know if having the original spell that sealed the dragon be the thing that makes everyone passive. It could be interesting that these people all came here, like, they traveled with the wizard to defeat the dragon, and then when he sealed it, they decided to stay to make sure it was protected. And now that the seal is weakening, the dragon weakens the town by making them passive.
Demolition Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The rules of Demolition Man. In the future, after there's been no fighting for so long, nobody remembers how to fight. So everybody there is just like, oh yeah, no, our like parents and grandparents used to fight. We don't know how to do that. They raised us in a life of peace and told us everything was gonna be fine from here on out. I don't think they counted on our big boy dying over there, but that's you know.
What if we have, instead of overweight, you know, last survivor, elf barbarian, what if it's an elf barbarian bard who recounted the tale and is the only one who can tell you about these different, you know, past live adventures, like Vault Disney, the magical artificer who has cannons in his knee joints, or, you know, Buffy McBufferton, you know, the headstrong gnome barbarian who crush your houses with one kick from his pinky toe. And I think that it could be a great way of getting some lore in here. And then you could use a great fun old timer voice. Well, back in my day, we picked up our swords and we swung them with both hands.
That's really good. So this elf is like the only surviving member of the wizard's adventuring party that came here.
Yes.
To defeat the elder dragon or elder brain dragon.
But everyone thinks he's a nutcase.
That's really good.
I saw a little blue man.
Sonic was in this magical battle.
So do we want there to be any kind of like structure to the kobolds? Or do we want them to be kind of just like just these mindless followers trying to dig their way in?
They should start off as a sort of like unorganized, but then as time has gone by, and the bard can tell you this, that they've grown more and more structured until they're starting to get more and more Tucker's kobold-y, where it's like, oh, they're starting to have tactics, and they don't know how to fight against tactics because they don't know how to fight. So, all right. Sorry,
yeah, Sam, I think over the time, they definitely grow stronger and wiser. But I think that's also could be the case of the seal weakening. So maybe part of the seal was, instead of making the town, you know, passive, it made the monsters in the area passive. And so as that weakens, you know, they start coming back to their more animalistic, elder brain controlled vibe, where maybe you have elder brains now come in, or beholders also start flooding in as well, you know, and that's the issue, is the kobolds are now summoning larger. What is the overall?
Illithids,
you know, are coming in, smarter ones who can teleport in and out of the town, grab jewels, grab things to break this tower down, because their ultimate goal is to destroy the tower so they can get in and bring back their leader, which is this elder brain dragon.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
And maybe they've gotten smart enough, the illithids or mind flayers have gotten smart enough that they understand the rules of the spell. So it's like, oh, I don't want to hurt anything when I'm here. And it's like, I don't want to hurt anything while I'm here. I'm just here for intel so that somebody can hurt them later. And it's like this thing where it's starting to figure out. And if you really wanted to, you could make it that that's the overall thought process of the elder brain dragon that's like passive downstairs. That's like, man, it's a good thing I don't want to hurt anybody. But if I did, like, I would want to know, like, what's going on here? And then, well, I think, like, the other
just to get out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just wants to get out.
Yeah. But you would have to get rid of the spell for it to leave. So that's the issue.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah.
Ooh, you can even, as the seal's getting weakened, the Elder Brain's able to, like, divvy out some power to these kobolds. So you can have, like, little warlock kobolds running around that have pacts with this thing.
Okay, now the funny thing that we could totally do here is I want them to be buff, like ridiculously buff, like we talked about in the beginning when they get power. So they come back in and they're like, oh yeah, we're ready to fight now. These huge buff kobolds, it would be great.
That's good.
But yeah, okay, so we have kind of the idea of like maybe some just, of the...
Just okay. Picturing this Elder Brain Dragon as an Elder Brain Dragon Hulk Hogan. And I'm trying to mix their names together, and I can't get it right now, but I think that's so funny. All right, brothers, you're going to come in here.
You, what was the one guy who gave the speech who was like, you got a 75% chance of losing, so you better believe when you add on top of that, all this, like, have you guys seen that?
That was probably Macho Man Randy Savage.
I don't think it, maybe it is. I got to look it up.
It might not be, but it sounds like a Macho Man.
Have we covered all of the kind of solutions that we're leaning towards for our party to have to kind of solve this problem?
Yeah, I think if we keep, you know, I think they could either, if you want, you know, if your party's more of a fighting type, I think you could have them easily team up with the Dragonbone Guardian and go in, attack this force and try to wipe it out. That could be one solution. If you have more of a cautious type, you could have them try to figure out which villager has been taken over by the Illithids, who is, like, you know, sneaking into the castle and slowly peeling away the seal, you know. Or three, you could have them try to figure out a way to give this Dragonbone Guardian more magic or mana to stay around longer to help town.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if you have just a whole bunch of barbarians who like to work out, you can have them teach the town how to fight.
Kind of get them to break the Elder Brain's passive spell on them.
Right.
Scott Steiner is the name of the wrestler.
Oh, Steiner.
Of, who does the big speech. Yeah, who does the big speech.
That makes sense.
Yeah. You know, all men are created equal, but you look at me and you look at Samoa Joe and you got that statement is not true. See, normally if you go one-on-one with another wrestler, you got a 50% chance of winning, but I'm a genetic freak and I'm not normal. So you got a 25% chance at best at beating me. And so just that level of like what this Elder Brain has. I'm not going to do the full speech. It's so long, but it's so good.
Oh, big pop pump.
So,
man was on so many steroids.
So what?
But it's such a good speech.
What do we want to name this dragon?
Which one? We got the Dragonbone Golem.
We do need a name for them as well.
And we've got the Elder Brain. Well,
now we're fighting dragons. See, my little parody brain was like, Jake Long, obviously, for dragon. A name for the...
So our wizard's name is Gainus Maximus?
Yep, Gains Maximus.
All right, and we have...
So the Elder Brain, or no, the Dragon Bone Golem has to be Gluteus Maximus, right? Glutes?
Okay, I got it for the Golem. The Golem's got to be named Leg Day. Leg Day. What's your name?
I'm
Leg
Day. It has to be spelled phonetically.
You never skip me.
Beautiful.
You can't get around Leg Day. It gets you eventually. So we got characters. Is there anything else we think this adventure really needs? Any traps, I guess?
Well, I think inside, underneath the dungeon, inside the tower has to have traps, you know, from the wizards that's left over.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Leg Day has been going in and revamping them and resetting them.
And he'll be able to point them out to you as well, just so your party's able to kind of maybe use them defensively.
That'd be cool. And we can kind of have maybe some of the, some of that weaponry lying around could be useful or hazardous maybe to your health. Because you're not as strong as the original heroes. But, you know, maybe it's still helpful, you know?
You can have, like, a random door somewhere in town locked because there's an immovable rod on the other side, and everyone's just kind of given up on opening it.
That would be funny. That's like a heron trap, a red heron trap.
Yeah, no, I think we've covered pretty much everything. We can go into the recap and synopsis now.
So, okay, we've had a lot of fun here today. I don't know why I'm doing that like it's a PSA special, but, you know, we have had a lot of fun here today. essentially, your party is going to come across a town. This town's full of folks who just seem to be chilling. They don't have a care in the world, and they think everything's fine. And that's all thanks to Ligde, the amazing golem who has been standing watch for generations, protecting them time and time again from various threats. So they know they don't have anything to worry about. Ligde always wins. But recently, when your party comes into town, Ligde is going to pull him aside and go like, yo, actually, bro, I'm dying. I can't do it. I'm done. So they're like, oh, what are we going to do without Ligde? So we got to go. So the party then has to decide how they're going to tackle these new things happen. If that is the kobolds who have been getting smarter and more dangerous by slowly being indoctrinated by the Illithids, or if it's the Illithids themselves finally showing up, or the fact that magic's just dying in general, and you have to find, well, not general, but in that town that's keeping everybody passive, so you have to find a way to solve that, or you gotta find a way to stop the dragon from waking up, or you have to make sure that the magic lasts so that the dragon doesn't wake up in any specific way. So you got a few options on the ways you go with this, or of course you could just train up somebody else so it's not your problem anymore, or you can just say goodbye to a character. You know, that's a lot, but we wanted to give you guys something that you could use and have a ton of different options with. So,
did I
give you enough time, Sam?
Yes.
Perfect.
Your party has just defeated a couple of forest theme monsters. They're beaten, bloodied, but overall in good spirits. As they continue along their trail, the trees part to a glistening town full of birds chirping, laughter heard off in the distance, a lot of commotion across this town's streets. Everyone seems very happy. You walk in, you're greeted by a couple of citizens, and this elderly elf bumps into you and goes,
ah, adventurers, I used to be one of those too. Make sure you check in with Ligde. You can't skip him or he'll kill you.
And he stumbles off into the bar. You go into the center of town where you're greeted by this giant statue of a dragon. A few moments later, you hear thundering beats of wings as this beautiful, glistening gold dragon steps in front of you. Thighs as huge as Goliath. He lays in front of you.
Greetings, adventurer. Welcome to Gainesville. I am its guardian, Ligde. Please follow me to my castle where we can speak in private and get you all checked in and your visitor passes. They're limited, one per each visitor. Do not share these. Thank you. Come with me.
And he guides you to the castle, to the wizard castle. As soon as the door locks in behind, he switches and looks at you nervously.
Aw, jeez, guys, I'm in a real pickle here. I really need your help. There's a lot going on. There's an army of kobolds here trying to summon their dead leader. I'm losing my magic, and someone in town keeps picking away at the seal, making shit real bad for us. Aw, jeez, can you help?
And in that panic, you see the breath coming out of his mouth as he tries to calm down, and what are you guys gonna do? How are you gonna help?
Very nice.
I just realized the threat of the Elder Brain's even scarier because it potentially has access, if you do the original version of the story, to a bunch of overpowered heroes.
Yes, we would love to get back into that, Malcolm, but we only have 4 minutes to wrap this up now.
You know, it's called an end credit scene. Marvel does it, so can we. Everyone does end credits now.
Thanks for listening to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. Our theme music is Today by Linby off the album Drive. If you enjoyed it, you can hear more from them at linby.bandcamp.com or on their now complete actual play podcast, Bombarded. You can find the show on Twitter at FitGDND. Our Discord server is linked there as well, and we'd love to hear some ideas from you. We're always looking for new themes and scenarios to add to our list. I have been David. You can follow me on Twitter at Daedra18 if you'd like to.
My name is Sam, or DM Mambo. You can find me at DM Mambo5 on Twitter, where I occasionally retweet. Well, I always retweet this show, but it's some other D&D stuff. I gotta post more, I know. My bad, y'all. Thank you so much for listening to my theme of Vulnerable, the Strong is Vulnerable, brought to you by the lovely David. Yeah, thanks for listening again, friends. We'll see you next episode.
Yeah, and I've been Malcolm. I do the FitGD&D Twitter. I try to use it. I do it sometimes. I will do more. But yeah, thanks for listening.
Our show is edited by the audio gremlin, Kat Brown. You can follow her on Twitter at xnubinator912x. We're an Obtuse Audio Studios podcast. You can learn more about the company at obtuseaudio.com. 5-star ratings and reviews really help out, so if you enjoyed the show, please hop onto your podcatcher of choice and leave a review for us. Thanks for listening. What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.